So our next speaker, Peter Verity from Positive Money.
I should just take a minute just to get this switched on.
Can I make a suggestion about the coping with the overrun, that we just grab drinks and go straight into the workshops rather than having a separate...
Will that be logistically possible with the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
Beautiful. All right. So you might like to slip out and put the kettle on or anything if you need to.
5 minutes warning.
Yeah. Well, Peter's going to talk for 15 minutes and it'll be after that we're going to stop. So Peter Verity from Positive Money talking about how we can reinvent money, really, to be a bit more sensible. I think that's the way I understand it.
Okay, I'm Peter Verity and I'm a supporter of Positive Money, which is a campaign for monetary reform. This is actually I give a longer talk of about 40 minutes. I've cut it down to, I hope, 15. I've had to cut out a lot of the detail, so there will be statements that I make which I haven't got time to fully justify, but I'll try and point you in the direction where you can check on what I'm saying. I think there are a few links here we can make to what's already been talked about. Climate change and environmental damage are clearly linked to unsustainable growth, which is a feature of our interest-based monetary system. The money has to keep growing to pay for the interest, and the economy has to keep growing to keep up with the growth in money supply. We've also got unemployment, nearly 3 million people unemployed. We're talking about creating a million jobs for climate jobs. We've actually got huge wealth and opportunity in the unemployed people. We've got the closed down factories and shops. The one thing we haven't got is enough money. People say, how can we employ these people because there's no money? And money is really at the centre of everything that's going wrong. And to understand the economy, we need to ask where money comes from, who creates it, and how that shapes our economy, and then how we can change that. So what I'm going to talk about is where money comes from. And there are actually two different types of money. We use them interchangeably. We don't really think that they're any different, but they have totally different characteristics. Notes and coins, we don't use much of nowadays. We use coins on the bus. You might use notes in the pub or the corner shop. They're created by the Bank of England. And you might think that all money is created by the Bank of England, but it isn't. Notes and coins are created by the Bank of England. That £10 note costs probably 3 or 4p to make, to actually print and create it. And it's worth £10. So when the Bank of England create that, there's £10 worth of benefit or profit, which is different to normal profit. It's not a trading profit. They've actually created £10 worth of value. And there's a special word for that called seniorage. Who gets the benefit of that? We do, because the Bank of England is fully owned by the British government, and the Bank of England actually creates roughly £1 billion of new notes and coins every year. That's an expansion in the notes and coins, and that profit goes completely to the government, to the Treasury, where it goes to supplement our taxes. Now, if you imagine there are 50 million taxpayers in this country, that seniorage reduces our taxes by about £20 per head, which isn't very much, but it is still an important concept, and I'll be coming back to that later. The other sort of money is bank money, and that's really represented by that. Bank money only really exists as information on computers in our banks. It's digital money, and it's a record, it's a computer spreadsheet of how much claim we've got money as a claim on wealth. And it's created by banks out of nothing. And this is the one thing, if you only remember this, banks do not need any money or any money saved to create money. If you go to a bank for a loan, let's give an example of going for a mortgage, £100,000 mortgage. Once they've accepted your credit checks, they go into your account and they type £100,000 to your account. It has not come from any savers, it's come out of thin air, and the total amount of money in the economy has increased by £100,000. It's not seniorage, because the bank itself doesn't get the £100,000, but what they do get is the interest, because they charge interest on the creation of money, and that's a source of private profit. They're creating their profit by lending something that they never had in the first place, something that they just created out of thin air. So, good money, the public money, there's £57 billion in the economy, which is 2.7% of all the money. The privatised money, the bank money, represents 97.3%. And if you think about it, this is shrinking. We use less and less cash, we use more and more credit cards, all of the bank transfers, all of your bills are paid, probably your supermarket or your petrol, you pay on your credit card. It's all this. Private companies have created 97% of our money supply out of thin air as debt. And I'll come on to that next, I think. This is the next, oh no, this is the next slide. When banks make loans, they create money. The next thing is a little bit surprising as well. When loans are repaid, the money disappears. So if I've gone to a bank for a mortgage, £100,000 mortgage, I've got a debt to the bank, and I've got £100,000 in my account. Eventually, I will pay back that debt. The debt has disappeared, and the money's disappeared. If I was giving the longer talk, I would go into a lot of detail, show you bank balance sheets and things like that to explain this, but it is genuinely true. I'll give you a reference in a few minutes where you can check this, because this is the hardest thing for people to believe. People believe that banks take our money in as savers money in, and then they lend it out. They don't. The money that you put in, the money that you've got in the bank that you're saving, the banks use that to buy assets that generate profits for them. When you go to a bank for a new loan, they add that money into your account and create it from nothing. And this fact is quite well known to central bankers. What it isn't known to is economists and politicians. I said I'll give you a reference. This book here is published by New Economics Foundation. I would recommend it. It gives the exact details of how it works. I've got all this, by the way, all these references on it. I've got a handout. It's on the table at the back. All the references and recommended readings are on here, so you don't need to take any notes. I've also got at the back, if you don't want to buy the book, this is a copy of the foreword of the book, and those are free to take, which explains it in a nutshell. So what's the impact on this? Well, first of all, we've got inescapable debt. We cannot have, I'm excluding now the cash, because that's just a rounding error. Money is the numbers in our bank. There is more debt to the banks than there is money. And there has to be, because if you think a bit about this £100,000 mortgage, when you take the mortgage out, you've got £100,000 that you owe the bank, and you've got £100,000 in your account. After a year, let's say you've paid back £10,000. The money in your account has gone down to £90,000, but if you've ever had a mortgage, you'll know that you still owe £97,000. So the debt is always more than the amount of money. How can we pay that debt of 2.4 trillion when there's only 2.1 trillion of money? The answer is that has to keep growing. The banks have to create more each year so that we can pay the interest on the money we borrowed the previous year. Money and debt are created simultaneously when people take out loans, and there is never going to be enough money to pay off this bank debt. If we want more money to generate, to stimulate the economy, we can only do it by taking on more debt. If we want more debt, if we want less debt, then we have to have less money. And if we want a forever growing economy, which is debatable in itself, but if you ever switch the news on or documentaries or anything like that, everybody's always talking about we've got to get growth going. We can only do it by increasing the forever growing debt. Because the problem is we've got too much debt and not enough money. But our politicians don't understand this. On the one hand, pay off the credit card, reduce the debt. But the banks have got to increase their lending levels. That you hear all the time. I think it's wrong. We don't want to increase lending levels. If we keep on doing the same thing, we'll keep on getting the same result. We've got to find a different way of creating money. So I'm going to look at one or two of the impacts on this. The banks are responsible for boom and bust and economic instability. What this graph shows is the change in the money supply each year since 1995. And you'll see that if we go back to the first decade here, around about £50 billion of new money was created each year by the banks. So the money supply was growing at that rate. And actually that's a pretty stable sort of level. It matches the growth that we were getting at the time. But then it started to increase. By 2008, in that year alone, the banks created £265 billion of new credit money. £265 billion could have paid for the entire National Health Service bill and the entire pension bill in that year, but of course it didn't. That money all went into financial services. The financial sector borrowing in that year actually increased by £300 billion, and all other sectors shrank in that year. So that's an absolute wasted opportunity. Now look at the last 2 years, 2010, 2011. The amount of money in circulation, digital money, has shrunk by £50 billion a year. It's £1 billion a week. £1 billion is 1,000 times a million. So that's like 1,000 millionaires leaving the country every week, taking their money with them. And people say, why are we in a double dip recession? It's pretty obvious. There's not enough money. Money is the catalyst that we need for trade and for the economy. And we're being deprived of that catalyst. Where does the new money go? This is a breakdown of all lending at the end of 2011. So this is the £2.4 trillion. This is from a Bank of England, what they call sectoral analysis. Small businesses, which you might think are the lifeblood of the economy, only get 8% of the money, of the lending. Consumption is 5%. Now, you may well have thought that the credit boom was caused by people overspending on their credit cards. It's only 5%, and that's credit cards, personal loans and overdrafts only represents 5% of borrowing. Housing, 43%. Hugely inflated over the last 10 years. It now requires two full-time workers to buy a house. A couple of generations ago, it needed one full-time worker to buy a house. Just think of the social impact of that statistic. And financial services, this is where all the growth has been. 34% of all money goes to financial services. And who decides this? The banks do. The banks decide where to lend. People who make the money get to make the rules as to who gets that money.
What do you mean by financial services there, please? People servicing loans and taking out insurance and that?
It's a lot of things. It's partly things like pension funds, but it's also a whole load of shadow banking, people who deal in derivatives, who borrow money from the banks. The banks create money. These people then use that money to create more money. And of course, where does that more money come from? It comes from everywhere else. The financial services sector, mainly in London, is actually sucking real wealth out of the real economy into financial services and into London. It's no surprise that in Sheffield we've got shops boarded up, and in London there's a building boom going on.
Am I right in thinking they do that globally into London?
Yes. I mean, the global situation is obviously there's global finance as well, which is not. This is the amount of sterling. Pound sterling that has been borrowed by financial services.
But it's being exacerbated by the global situation, don't you say?
It was a different point. Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we're starting from. What's the solution? Well, the positive money approach is that we believe that the power to create money should be taken from the banks and returned to the people to whom it properly belongs. That's actually a quote by Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States. What do we want from a public money supply? Well, first of all, we want a digital money supply. There's no escaping the fact that digital money is incredibly useful. All of our funds, our bill payments that we do through electronic banking, credit cards, debit cards, we are a digital society. And there's no escaping that. But what we want is a debt-free source of digital money. We want it to be created in sustainable and stable quantities and used as a public benefit. Now, is that so radical? Remember my £10 note? Created debt-free by the Bank of England. It's created in sustainable quantities and it's used as a public benefit. Remember, we get £1 billion seniorage from the creation of notes and coins. What we want is for the Bank of England effectively to have control over the creation of digital money. How much new money might be created this way? Well, let's assume 2% inflation, which is the target. Let's assume 2% growth, which is the long-term trend, although not recently. You could justify a 4% increase in money year on year, which would give you around about £85 billion of additional seniorage. £85 billion, which could go direct to the Treasury to supplement our taxes and to be used for public expenditure. Compare that with the £1 billion seniorage that we get at the moment. That's 16% of total government spending. The austerity cuts are £81 billion over 4 years. So you could reverse those austerity cuts, £20 billion a year, and still have £65 billion of seniorage to spend on climate, jobs, or whatever. VAT raises £80 billion a year. With this seniorage, you can completely cancel VAT. VAT is one of the most regressive taxes that we've got. hits the poorest the hardest. You could do away with VAT completely.
Excuse me, could you just explain again about seniorage?
Right, okay.
Seniorage
is... Right. It's when you create money. Normally, if you go out to work, then you've exchanged your labour for some money that already exists. I was talking to Rory before we started. People think that you go to work and the work somehow creates the money that you're paid. It doesn't. That money already existed. And the point where the money is very first created out of nothing is an additional benefit. And in the case of public money, that profit goes immediately to the treasury. So it's new money being created.
Is this the cash money, notes and coins?
At the moment it's cash. No. Because cash is, because the Bank of England only control the cash. They only create the 1 billion.
But you're saying those principles should apply to bank money?
Those principles could be applied to
bank
digital
money.
What we'd have to do, and this is on the slides that I've cut out, is for the Bank of England to take responsibility for creating that digital money, and they could do that now. The mechanisms already exist. But we've also got to make changes to banking to stop the banks creating money, and that's the much harder technical and political thing to do. This was the graph that I showed earlier. The blue is the amount of new money that the banks create each year, and the red is what would happen, how much new money there would be each year at a rate of 4% growth each year. And you can see we're up to £85 billion seniorage, and we're talking about a stable economy, no boom and no bust. So in summary, private banks have created 97% of our money supply as debt. This is guaranteed to cause inescapable debt, economic instability, and lost seniorage of £85 billion a year. And these are not just coincidental effects, they're actually guaranteed. In the longer talk I give, I really explain how boom and bust are an inevitable consequence of our system. We believe the power to create money should be taken from the banks and returned to the people to whom it properly belongs, i.e. us. Positive Money are a national organisation being run in about 2 years. The website is there, and as I say, I've got this on the handouts. If you do nothing else, sign up to support them. Donating a small amount each month is a fairly painless way of supporting this change, if you're able. We've also got a local group in Sheffield. We've been running about 6 months. There are a couple of things which again are on the handout. Monday, June the 18th, we're showing a documentary at the showroom, free entry for that. We have monthly get-togethers. We've got a wiki. This email address again is on, or sorry, website address is on the handout. And we've got a contact list. If you're interested in joining us, then the details are on the wiki how to join. There's a self-subscribe on the wiki. I can also take email addresses on a sheet here if you want. So there's three things on the table outside. There's a summary of just a few of the slides. There's this thing which is the foreword of the book, Where Does Money Come From? And there's this pamphlet which goes into quite a bit of detail about privatised money, money and debt, broken economy and the Plan B. I think that's everything I wanted to say. Thank you very much.